Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest with us. We have a gentleman named Jordan Gross, really cool guy, and he is a Northwestern and Kellogg School of Management graduate, a two-time startup founder, a TEDx speaker, and a number one best-selling author. His upcoming book, The Journey to Cloud Nine, provides a new approach to the personal development world by using fictional storytelling to reveal some of life's most meaningful principles. Jordan has been asking hundreds of people around the world how they live their lives on Cloud Nine, and he cannot wait to share this with all of you. And Jordan, I wanted to first start with saying, you know, man, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today.
Avery, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I love your energy. I'm just very excited to dive right into this chat.
Awesome, man. I am too. And the first question is a great question here because of exactly what you're living. And it really is just an explanation of you, but it's about what you do, why you do it, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what I do, why I do it, and why I'm a social impactor. So currently what I do is kind of what you read. So I'm on a personal journey to Cloud Nine, trying to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment within my own life. And I think I'm pretty close to it. And the way that I'm doing that is by being a writer, a speaker, and a coach. So that's the very specifics, but I would say what I mainly do is allow people to gain a daily dose of happiness by interviewing people and understanding what exactly it is that lights them up inside. And I call these Cloud Nine moments. And it's this one moment of true euphoria, really, that you can have throughout the day, throughout the week, and also these transformative life experiences that you can have on your own journeys to living your Cloud Nine life. So the book part is called The Journey to Cloud Nine. The coaching is Cloud Nine Living, where I help other people discover what exactly it is that lights them up in their lives. So it's a little bit about the, not just follow your passion, but how do you find that passion? What exactly is it? How do you explore your curiosities, build upon your passions, and find your true purpose? And then the last piece is speaking. So I recently gave a TEDx talk all about getting outside your comfort zone in order to learn and grow and develop and become the person you want to be and tell the stories that you want to tell years down the road. So that's what I do. Why I do it is really simple. It's because for me, much like we just said before this recording, Avery, is that it's all about impact. And I've been able to understand at a very early age that I'm not going to be somebody who is satisfied by following the norm or going through the motions or being average. I really need to do something that is going to make a positive change in this world. And by studying happiness and by allowing for people to really dive deep into those goosebump worthy moments, I think that I'm able to provide others with an outlet and an understanding that no matter the circumstance, there's always a positive direction to move in. So that's the why. And then in order to best explain the social impactor question, I'll start with a quick story where I was 7 years old and it was September 20th, 2001. So if that date, you know, 2001 in September rings a bell, it's because it was 9 days after the 9/11 tragedy. And as a 7 year old, I went up to my parents and I said, "Hey, mommy, daddy, like I want to start a lemonade stand." But the goal of the lemonade stand was never to just raise money and be infatuated by having a lemonade stand as a kid. But rather, I wanted to start the lemonade stand at the age of 7 because I wanted to give all the money away to the families in my community who were affected by 9/11. So I attribute it a lot of the time to my surroundings and my parents and my brother and my friends and my grandparents and all the people in my family. But I think that I've always had this sort of innate something inside of me to think about the bigger picture and think about the world in its entirety rather than just think about myself or the couple of people who I can impact. I want it to be at a more grandiose scale. So I think that story is really just a nice way to segue into how I can make an impact at any stage of my life, not just as a 7-year-old kid selling lemonade for, you know, the 9/11 families.
Wow, man. Yeah. Wow. No, I was not expecting that. It's an incredibly intuitive story. And I mean, the amount of self-reflection you put into that to really show that, you know, even as a 7-year-old kid, impact was important to me.
Yeah.
There are not many 7-year-old kids in there that are your age now that really have that lens of impact. And I think, you know, that sets a standard for what it means to be a social impactor, right?
Yeah.
To make this impact in the world. I love that you explained that and what you're doing.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It's funny. Also, I remember, I live on Long Island, New York, which is like about 45 minutes on a good day, 2 hours sometimes with traffic from the New York City.
Oh yeah.
And I remember as a kid growing up, my dad started to hate taking me into the city because I would want to give money to every single homeless person who I walked by.
Oh yeah.
You'd always joke that he was going to run out of money by the time we got out of the city because every single person who I saw in need, I just wanted to do something to help. And I'm so fortunate that those qualities have really continued with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible quality and you know, what's small to you, what you can give away to people might change the rest of their world. Right. And it really is that conversation of, you know, is it worth it? And will it make an impact for the person? And if it does, I try to follow the rule that you always should, right? If you can make a little impact of $5 here and there, help someone out, just do it.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to change their life. Yeah.
Love it. And it's so true. And it's not even $5 all the time. It's the other day I was online at the grocery store and I said to the cashier as I was checking out, "So how are you doing today?" And at first she didn't respond. And I'm like, okay. Like I asked again, "So how are you doing today?" And she's like, "Oh, me?" I'm like, "Yeah, you." Like, there's nobody else here. And she's like, "Wow, I just always kind of assume that people are on their headphones or talking or like not really talking to me." And I didn't even have headphones on at the time, Avery. So it just goes to show, you know, if you take somebody outside of their norm, and by the way, we had a great conversation after that. We laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
if you take somebody outside of their mundane reality, be it a cashier or, you know, somebody working behind the Chipotle counter or anybody who's sort of just going through the motions, if you really allow them to feel more human, then that's what it's really going to be like at the end of the day. That's the real impact that you can make too. So,
So Jordan, I have a question then, it's the second question. So great segue, but how are you then with everything that you're doing and, you know, the great work that you do, just to help people get to, you know, their cloud nine, making a positive impact in your community?
So I've done a lot of different endeavors or initiatives to really try to make a difference within the communities that I've been in. So I'll be candid here in two different ways. One, right here in New York City, it's more so about what I'm doing online and in my LinkedIn communities and on Medium and in the people who I coach. It's not so much like the way that you think about in my community right now, because I have yet to really make that impact here in the city. Mm-hmm. And two, Avery, is that honestly, as a kid growing up, I definitely had, obviously with the story of when I was 7 years old, I had it within me to do something different than my peers and to do something that was truly impactful. Mm-hmm. But for such a long time, honestly, I was going through the motions and I was mainly focused on sports and academics. And I didn't really have this drive to make a greater impact until I got to college. And the first thing that I really did was making an impact based off of something that was close to my heart and the people around me. So when I was a junior in college, I realized that there was not a strong support system for people at my school who were impacted by Alzheimer's. And my grandfather had just passed away from Alzheimer's. And at his eulogy, actually, I decided that in an impromptu eulogy, I said, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to do something in order to honor my grandfather's legacy and bring Alzheimer's to the forefront in some way, shape, or form. So I'm the kind of person, Avery, who I definitely now so more than ever, but at that time it was definitely building. I fear the what if more than I actually fear the what. So it's not taking on something new that scares me. What scares me is actually what I'm leaving or the regret of not going ahead and diving right into something. Yeah. So I started this organization at Northwestern called They Forget, We Remember. And it was based on the pillars of support, education, fundraising, and volunteering to spread awareness with the Northwestern community. And we've partnered up with the Cognitive Neurology and Alzheimer's Disease Center at Northwestern, which was or is one of the top research centers in the whole world. And we started to raise a lot of money for Alzheimer's. So why I continue, why I say this story is because I've really continued on in that Alzheimer's community. And I've had a lot of fortunate opportunities to meet some really cool people in that world, serve on a couple different boards. And, I would say that is, you know, in terms of social impact, that is where I try to make my most significant mark. Like last year I had a month where, like 10% of book sales went to the Alzheimer's community. And, yeah, I'm really trying to hone in on just one thing because I'm the kind of person where, I would give money to every different or try to make an impact to every different thing that I could.
Yeah.
I have the means. Yeah. So right now I'm trying to overcome that at a young age and say like, okay, these are the ones that are closest to my heart. They're the ones I'm going to focus on. And the other one is the MS Society. My mom has MS. So I did the same thing with the book sales last year too. So.
Wow. And I think a really important thing that you highlighted, which is a really good, you know, information and knowledge piece here. And it's that when you find something that you're good at, whether it's online or whether it's local, you can make an impact in any way, right? Mm. We have this definition of community. And when I ask this question, it's always, you know, the first thought in my mind is the guest is thinking that they think they're local community.
Right.
And that it's meant to kind of do that because it's meant to, you know, make people think, but
yeah.
Community is whatever you make of it, right? Whether it's law online, whether it's, you know, the Alzheimer's Society, and you get to pick and choose what those communities are.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the exciting thing about it, right? It doesn't matter what median it is of the community. As long as you make an impact, you're doing great things.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. So true.
I love that, man. And so let's jump into the third question. And the third question I have for you is not so much about community anymore. It's actually about business. And I'm excited to have your corporate background and then, this new entrepreneurial background. And
yeah.
The question is, do you believe social impact is an important part of business?
1,000% yes. So this might be biased, and you and I both might be biased because it seems like we have some very similar ideals on how we view the world and how impact is really what we're here to do and how we can leave a legacy. But for me, you know, my favorite companies are the Tom's Shoes of the world, right, Avery, where it is mission-driven.
Yeah.
It is not just about the bottom line. It is about the bottom line being how many people can we help, not how much money can we make, right? So for me, it is definitely apparent that if we as businesses are provided the opportunity to make an imprint with the money that we make and the people that we employ, why would we not have some sort of responsibility to our local communities or however we define communities, right? I think it's imperative at this point, honestly. And I think businesses are doing themselves a real disservice if they're not making an effort to be socially conscious and have social impact at the forefront of really not only how they run as an organization, but also how they attract new candidates. I think as we, you know, people start to talk more and more about impact and bring these conversations to the forefront, that's what young and attractive talent are going to want when they get into a role. So it has to be a really huge part of what companies are doing these days.
And So I work a lot in the impact investment space, and I always hear from the opposite side that, you know, social impact or an impact mandate is more attractive to you know, angel investors now, more attractive to VC capital, because it's a risk adverse industry, whereas, you know, traditional oil or traditional economy is very risk. There's a lot of risk associated with it, but that is the first time that I've heard from the perspective of candidates.
Yeah.
You're attracting the right candidates when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's definitely true, because if you think about the millennial population that's coming up, or Gen Z or Gen Y, these conversations are popping up left and right, you know, and people are going to, the more you hear about something, the more ingrained it becomes in your mind. So, I mean, I did a lot of work when I was at Northwestern and during my master's at Kellogg in the career services department. And a lot of the times we thought about, okay, what kind of relevant and present and modern questions can I ask at the end of my interview, right? And a lot of the things that came up were, you know, what is your company doing outside of the boardroom? What is your company doing to impact the local community? What is your company doing? Do you have volunteer days? Do you have, so I think it's very, very, very evident right now. And it has to be moving forward.
I love that, man. And again, as long as this conversation continues, the more and more of this becomes ingrained in our society. So
yeah, I love that. You're absolutely true.
So the last question I have for you is about your advice for listeners and for anyone that, you know, stumbles upon this podcast, let's say. And the question is, what is your advice for others to begin making a social impact in their communities?
So my advice, first and foremost, before I even get to the what of what the advice is and what the impact is and how to make it, I would say that you need to be aligned fully on why you want to make an impact in the first place, right? So it's not just about understanding that impact is good for the world, right? But why do you want to make an impact, and why do you want to make the specific impact that you're going to make, right? So for me, for example, it was something that's close to my heart, right? And I realized that there was a void that needed to be filled at Northwestern with the Alzheimer's community. So for you, what void are you going to fill? So that's the first question. And then in terms of the how and the what, two things for me. One is it's all about what I mentioned before, fearing the what if more than actually fearing the what. So if you see an opportunity to go ahead and really make your mark now, start, right? Like I posted something on LinkedIn literally today where I saw this great quote. Like, is it going to be one day or is it day one? And I think it always has to be day one. I think you need to start making some sort of tangible effort to make improvements if you see that problem right now. So that's number one, is having the initiative and the wherewithal to go ahead and do something. And then number two is, for me, it's all about relationships. So you can't go about making an impact alone. You can try your best and sure, you can maybe do a little something. But who are you going to associate yourself with? Who are you going to have in your sphere of influence? Who are you going to look up to in the world of the impact that you want to make? So it's about surrounding yourself with the right people, and then going ahead and with those people, or from what you've learned from those people, just giving it a start and making today day one.
I love that. Making today day one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Jordan, I wanted to say, just as an ending point, you know, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And you know, I say this every podcast because, you know, every guest we've had is incredible. But
yeah.
The idea of just doing it, I think, is a super important topic, because sometimes it's the difference between starting, right, taking that action, and not taking that action that really can define your future. I mean, you're living proof of it, right? You took an idea and you're now an author. You now travel for public speaking and you're really making people think positively. So, again, thank you so much, man, for being on the podcast today.
And thank you so much for having me, Avery. It takes a really special guy to invite somebody on who you don't really know much about and then have a conversation like this. So really, really, really loved it. And we'll talk to you soon.